Please rise for the reading of God's Word. Today's scripture reading comes from Acts 1, 1-8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at the time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes for you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody here again. PPP. It's not planned to protect, it's something else I want to speak on this morning. People always seem to be in a hurry. As I came to church to work last week, so before I arrive at the Knight Street, and then there's a car, a few cars behind me, and it's always zigzagging, driving on the parking lane and trying to get ahead a little bit. So eventually the car came to behind me, and then I know what it's going to do. So once the light turned green, then he's going to zigzag around me and get ahead of me. So then what's the hurry? So after a few minutes, I get to Knight Street. The same guy is right in front of me. I mean, after 5 minutes, after all this extra effort, it's only one car ahead of me. But we all seem to be in a rush. The church always rush us, sign up for the summer camp. Well, you better sign up for the summer camp. It's not our space. I'm not kidding now. We may check up the price and see who maybe put out the space for auction. But hurry up and sign up the camp. The church always want to hurry up. And I am also the kind of person who like that one sports shoes, just do it. And I do a lot of planning, but that's probably because my job was an engineer. We have to plan every little thing. We plan things to death. And then after we plan it, then we have to hurry up and do it. And then that's the nature of engineering. You spend a lot of time in planning every little detail. When would this arrive? Everything has to be arrived at the exact same time. If I arrive too early, it gets rusty sitting out in nowhere, right? So you cannot arrive too early. If I arrive late and everybody is standing there and waiting, where is that motor? Then you'll be in trouble. So once we plan everything, then we hurry up, we do the finishing and start making money for our clients. Our life seems to be like that, right? Hurry up, hurry up. But this morning, we are going to look at first chapter of Acts. But before that, it's kind of a prelude to first chapter of Acts. In Luke 24, the same author for Acts, Luke 24:49, Jesus saying, "No, you have to go and be a witness for me. Go and bring people to Alpha Course. Go and share the gospel, but wait. Stay in the city and wait. Hurry up and wait." So what do you mean? Hurry up and wait. And then as we come to Acts chapter 1, so Jesus has been persecuted, executed, crucified on the cross, died, and raised from grave 3 days later. And then now he eating with the apostles, with the followers. In chapter 1, verse 4, so Jesus was eating with them, gathering them together. And then he said the same thing as he did before he was crucified in Luke 24. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, hurry up and wait, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Hurry up and wait. So my first P, I'm going to speak on the three P's this morning. P, the first P is what? Patience. I say, candies. No, no candies. I give you a hug afterwards. Okay. Oh, okay. All right, okay, you don't want that. All right. Something else. Okay. Patience. We have to have patience. Waiting on the Lord requires patience. Patience means trust. Not waiting for your wife, which is a mystery. Why do I have to wait so long? Or your husband. But waiting for the Lord is trust. He knows what he is doing. The Lord very often asks us to wait. So, what? I've been waiting for 2 hours now. You have to wait for another 2 years. What? Another 2 years? Patience. Waiting on God reminds us that God is in control. When we look at the world today, this morning, we as Christians, especially, God, where are you? How could all this injustice going on in front of you, in front of your eyes, under you? I thought you had sovereign over all of us. But how could all this injustice in the world is happening right in front of our eyes? But I can also hear God said, wait. Psalms 130, 5 to 6. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. I wait for Yahweh. I wait and put my hope in his word. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. When we are waiting, that means we are trusting our Lord. We come to him. We do what we can do. We prepare ourselves. But sometimes we have to wait. I actually graduated from the seminary in the 80s. That's a long time. It's a long time. I graduated at Region 82, I think, right? Cynthia? Or 80, 85. A long time ago. I waited a long time before God put me into full-time ministry. I served as a volunteer pastor for 20 years at this church. I mean, you all know. But I waited a long time. I wasn't even waiting. But God put me there. Wait. You're not ready yet. Waiting means that we trust God is in charge. Waiting reminds us that you are not God. Who are you to say it? No, why is this not done? God has his timing. Hudson Taylor. We all know Hudson Taylor. Missionary, British Protestant Christian missionary to China. He spent over 50 years serving in China. But the fruits that he brought when he was alive is not that many. It's only after he passed away. And you can see the fruit growing. David Livingstone, a Scottish missionary to Africa. Also, during his lifetime, he struggles a lot. First Protestant missionary to China, Robert Morrison, is there in Macau. Macau is that next to Hong Kong, Macau and Canton, most of his life. He spends whole life there. And how many people has he converted? You know? Robert Morrison, he spends whole life serving in China, in Canton and Macau. He brought 10 people to Christ. My goodness, we won't even hire him if we come and apply for a job at VCAC. You spend your whole life there, only bring 10 people to Christ. I mean, we've seen more people at this church last time get baptized. Yeah, we've got 1,500 people get baptized. He spent his whole life, only 10 people converted. But he translated the Bible into Chinese and many Christian literatures into Chinese. And that is a great influence and a big help for all the other missionaries that come, that came up after him. God has his timing. We have to be patient. Chinese, we call this the Chinese bamboo tree. It's actually not a tree. It's not classified as a tree, but we call this Chinese bamboo tree. And it's really strong. And if you are from Hong Kong, you know that, I don't know about nowadays, but in older days, they use bamboo to set up scaffolds, even in high-rise buildings. Because bamboo is easy to carry than a steel, it's light, but it's really, really strong. But do you know that it takes many years to grow a bamboo tree, like 5 to 6 years. But the interesting fact is that in the first 5 years, the bamboo tree doesn't grow much. You see very little growth. So you actually, if you try to grow a bamboo tree in front of your house, which may not be a good idea, maybe at the backyard, you will see almost no growth in the first 5 years. And then suddenly in the last year number five, it grows like 80 feet in 5 to 6 weeks, 80 feet in 5 to 6 weeks. So you go away for vacation, you plant this bamboo tree in front of your house. So you came back after vacation, and then you find, where's my house? It disappeared. The whole neighborhood changed. It almost grew an inch, an hour in the last few weeks. Now, did the bamboo tree grow in 6 weeks or 5 years? 5 years. It did not grow in 6 weeks. One time someone came to me and said, Pastor Norman, thank you for your sermon this morning. So how long did you spend to prepare? I said, 50 years. I've been preparing this for 50 years or 30 years. It's my whole life. Every one of my sermons, it's my whole life. I spent my life experience, my learning from the Lord to prepare a sermon. Same. It takes long time. God has his timing. Because why the bamboo tree takes so long to grow to its full height, like 130 feet, it can grow up to 130 feet, because he spent the first 5 years growing the roots so that it can be strong and so that the bamboo tree can grow on it. God has his timing. So we have to be patient. Like the disciples, God tell them to hurry up, spread the gospel to the end of the world, starting from Jerusalem, but wait. So very often we are waiting. We really want to buy that our neighbor's house. You all know that. We need that house before we can develop this. Right now we cannot even add a washroom, add anything in this building here, because we have maximized the allowable space on this lot. And any redevelopment, we need that little house at the corner of this block. And we waited for a long time, and we pray to God. You know that we need more space, especially on Sundays. But how come we have the money? Today, I don't know if we wait for another few years. Our money is always about the same, but the house keeps going up, the price. So we don't know if 10 years from now whether we can afford to buy the house. But what's your timing? But God doesn't seem to answer us. I don't know why. Maybe he wants us to focus on something else at this time. Many years ago, when I was in the church, Elder's Board, like 30 years ago. So that was under the leadership of our founder, Pastor Augustus Chow. So we decided to plant our first church, a planted sister church. So we looked around, and then Pastor Chow came back to the board, And so as we're going to plan a church here, today is the Burnaby Chinese Alliance Church. And then I still remember what I said. I said, "This is so far away. No one lives in that area. No one lives in Burnaby." And it was true 35 years ago. There's no Chinese living in Burnaby. So why do we want to plant a church in that area? There's no man land. We want to plant it on Victoria Street, Fraser Street, the main street, right? Close to us, then we can go there and help. So the pastor just said, "No, look at this map." He actually pulled out a map, a real paper map. In those days, we don't have iPhones. Look at this location. It's right at the junction of Vancouver, New Westminster, and Burnaby. But I said, "So far away, no one lived there." Today, you laugh at me. I said, "What do you mean no one lived there? I mean, half of our church members live in Burnaby, Metro Town, Brentwood Mall, Richmond." It's only after like 35 years that we realized God has his plan. Today, the Burnaby Chinese Alliance, they may have forgotten us. But when every time I see the church, see the pastor, I got excited, because it's a healthy, strong church that we planted many years ago. That they are on their own, they start planning their church. God has his plan. We have to be patient and trust in God. So what are we waiting for? Because God wants us to be empowered. So the disciples, the followers, asked him. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority." The disciples says, "Okay, we wait. We want to wait for God's plan. We all want to know, what is your plan for my life? Who's my life partner that you planned for me?" We all want to know. What's the job, my career, my future? Where do you want me to work? What kind of work you want me to do? Which church you want me to go to? What's your plan for our church? I can only look so far ahead, even as a church pastor. I don't know what happened to this church 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. So the disciples come and said, show me the plan, the timing, when we are going to restore our kingdom. We used to be so strong under David, King David. Now we are almost like slaves. When is the time that you will restore our kingdom? The disciples are interested in God's plan, isn't it? Don't we all? We pray, we want to know God's plan. We read the Bible, we want to know God's plan. But God here is not asking us to wait for the plan, so that you do not know the plan. But I am entrusting you power. So the second P, from patience is to power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Very often we come to the Lord, we want to know God's plan. Sometimes God shows us the plan, but we're not interested. We want to follow our own plan. But God here telling the disciples, "I'm not going to show you the plan, only the Father in heaven knows. But I'm going to give you power." Isn't that what you want? I'm going to give you power rather than the plan. You will receive power from this Holy Spirit, and you will be my witness, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest part of the earth. God promised the power. And someone, a professor in a seminary, asked this one, a student, to list out all the power of the Holy Spirit in the scripture. So the student wrote out from A to Z. I'm not sure you can read it. From A to Z, that talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, starting from A, acceptance, ability, adoption, anointing, appointments, B, bonus, give us power, strength, to witness, blessings, cleansing, character, comfort. Go on to X-ray vision. Okay, I don't know where it came from the Bible. Youthfulness, seal of our salvation. It's not completely this. I'm sure if you can find more. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. Today we have planned. We have a church has a church handbook. There's nothing wrong with church handbook. No, don't get me wrong. We have a church handbook about this thing. We have many planning. We need to plan. Like as I said, I'm an engineer. We plan things to death. We need to plan. But sometimes, sadly, we have plans, but we don't have power to carry our plans. We planned Alpha, planned every little detail, including the dessert, what you're going to eat next week in the dessert. But we sometimes don't have the power. We don't have the power to bring people to Christ. Do you feel that you have all kinds of plans, but you just don't have the power to carry it out? God sometimes doesn't reveal his plan to us, because otherwise we'll be in a great depression. If God tells you that you're going to pass away in August, I'm sure you're not going to sign for the summer camp, right? And if you know that the day that you're going to meet the Lord is August the 1st, I think you'll be in great despair, and you'll probably be stressed to death before that day. You're so worried, right? So God sometimes doesn't reveal all his plans to us. But he promised us the power. When Abraham left home to the promised land, he did not really know where he was going, isn't it? When Moses was asked to confront Pharaoh, he said, I do not know what to say. I don't know what to say, but the Lord, you said that you just go. I will tell you, I will teach you what to say. David, Job, Elijah, Daniel, they're all the same. God has a plan, but sometimes he doesn't reveal the whole plan to them or to us. We have to trust him, patient, trust him. But he promised the power. Today we do a lot of work. For some of us, we thank the Lord. A lot of us, we are serving really hard at the church. We're supporting the church. We're doing a lot of work. But sadly, sometimes we don't feel the power. We don't have this power that God promises. We have plans, but no power. The power is from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Are we just doing all this based on our own strength? God has already promised the power. How come today we feel so weak to serve? We feel so tired to serve. We have great plans. We need the power. And the power comes from prayers, the third P. Patience, power, and prayers. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and all these people. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together. Jesus told them to wait, be patient, to wait for this power through prayers. The birth of the church was during a prayer meeting, not preaching, not because we have a great preacher here. We are always interested in who's coming to preach to this camp, to church, special meetings. We go to special meetings. All these are good. But we also have to look forward to prayer meetings. Today, we're going to have prayer meetings. What a time to preach this sermon. Prayer meeting. The birth of the church was during a prayer meeting, not preaching, not singing. Not that singing is not important. We really focus on singing this day. We spend a lot of time watching YouTubes, watching the worships. We enjoy all those singing. I enjoy watching YouTubes, the worship teams, the singing. But the church was born during a prayer meeting. Not preaching, not singing, but prayer. Prayer unites us together, unite our hearts together. Praying will bring us to God, to trust God. In the prayer meeting, we connect our spirit with the Lord and with others. In praying, we draw energy and power from the Spirit. The birds, the three different ways of flying, I just learned this online, three methods of flying. One is flapping, right? And at our backyard, once in a while, we see hummingbirds. Right? I don't know how many of you have seen hummingbirds. They are really cute. And our backyard is a lot trees, and once in a while, we see hummingbirds. Now, Cynthia, come, and then we go in there, stare at the bird. And the interesting thing is, the hummingbird, they can almost fly stationary in the air, right, if you've seen it. And it's really cute, flapping the hand. And I look at the hummingbird, and he must be very tiring. And sometimes we are like that, isn't it? We are like a hummingbird. When we surf, we flap our wings. It's so tired. And then we have cornered the word for people who work really hard and then got tired. We call it burn out. So the first way to fly is flapping their wings in constant motion, like a hummingbird, to counter air gravity. It is tiring. It's a lot of work. And then the next way for the birds to fly is called gliding. So these are for the bigger birds, right? So they have gathered enough speed and height, and then they will coast down for a while, right? Like the seagulls, crows. They fly, and then after a while, then they just slide. But then they can only slide so far, and then they will hit the ground. And then myself, sometimes I like that as well. We fly really high, and then we can glide based on our experience, our energy. Then we can continue in the ministry for a few more years. We get up all our energy, and then we charge, you know, we take up a lot of roles, and then we fly for a while, and then we just glide. So when we teach Sunday school, we don't have to prepare any new material. We just based on what I have learned in the last 10, 20 years, and then we can just teach just a 101 class. I mean, I know enough about this basic truth, but based on my old previous knowledge, I can teach it, I can continue, I can serve. It's just like seagulls, and we fly up, and then we just glide and glide and glide, and then slowly we hit the ground, and then suddenly we ourselves burn out, we tire. But I guided so long. Yeah, it's based on your previous energy, your experience, your knowledge of the Bible. Based on your previous experience with the Lord. So you guided for 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years. You just glide along based on your experience when you were a young, new Christians. And COVID came. Suddenly you hit the wall. And then you dropped to the ground. You cannot glide anymore. And then you cannot fly anymore, neither. You have no more energy. The third way to fly is soaring. Only a few birds, such as eagles, are capable of soaring. If you watch the eagles, sometimes they just stay on the treetop, watching, waiting Waiting for what? Waiting for strong wind. Waiting for warm air. They don't have to fly. They soar. The hot air will lift the eagle up. If you watch the eagle, you don't have to flap the wings like the hummingbird. They just soar. They're not using their own power to fly, to soar. It's the hot air, the wind that lifted them up. They fly with very little energy. They can fly up to 80 miles per hour. That's faster than my car. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord, who wait upon the Lord, patience in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When you soar on the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus promised. The power of the Holy Spirit, you will not feel fatigue. You will not feel tired. Because it is not you, you're flapping the wings. It's the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit that uplifting you. Are you surfing based on your own power, like the hummingbird, or like you just fly and then you die? Or you are like an eagle. You soar on the wings like eagles. Prayer will give you that power. Unfortunately, most Christians do not have the patience to pray. Prayer meeting is always and most churches, I shouldn't say, or churches, most churches, the least attended activities. How much time you spend on prayer, personal prayer? How many times we go to prayer meetings? Church has joined prayer meetings. English has our own English monthly prayer meetings. A few years back, before the COVID, I went to this church in Winnipeg, Steinbeck. I went there twice to join their church renewal conference. First time I went with I went myself, actually, with some alliance pastors. So the next time I went with our own pastor and spouse, we went there for a few or 4 days to learn about this church. This church is a very, quote-unquote, a very healthy church. I don't want to say successful, a healthy church, a very strong church. It's a big church, close to 4,000 or 5,000 people in a small town that only have about 25,000 people. So about 1 in 4 people goes to the church. It's a big church. It's like a shopping mall, huge church. So I went there for a few days. I want to learn what makes this church so strong and powerful. But I did not learn any strategy. They didn't tell us any strategy, any planning, any special programs they have, they use, no. The whole week, they talk about repentance. And that's it. I said, I could teach that in our Sunday school. Nothing new, no special strategy. So on the last day, the Sunday, so we were reminded by the pastor of the church, so today, you are all special guests. There's about 200 or 300 of us attending the conference. So tonight, you're welcome to join our church once a month prayer meeting. But please come early to find a seat. I said, what? Come early to a prayer meeting to find a seat. There's always empty seats. We have to take seats away so that it won't look that empty. Come early. If you come like 15 minutes before the prayer meeting, you won't find a seat. You have to go to the next room to watch the TV. I said, what? You have to watch TV in the prayer meeting? I said, yeah, you come early. Half an hour early, the fire seat. So we went there early, so we went half an hour early, so we can barely find a seat. It's over 1,000 people prayer meeting. A lot of them are young people. When I say young people, I meant those 14, 15, 16-year-old teens. A lot of people. It's a church that pray together. So prayer meeting is not our days, neither is Sunday school. I know that. Seems like that is very things that we don't like to talk about. We like to talk about singing, preaching, very important. Sometimes we hop, some people hop between churches to find a speaker that he or she likes. But this church is about praying together. But that's exactly what Acts 1 is telling us, isn't it? It's nothing new. What this church is doing is nothing new. You wait upon the Lord for power. The power from the Holy Spirit is not your own planning strategy. It's the power from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself told us that. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit through prayers. We need to go back to prayers. If you want the church or yourself, not just the church, to be strong in the Lord, we cannot rely on ourselves. But yet we have not enough, don't have time. The reason that we have to receive this power is that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. This is Isaiah, okay, the next one here. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit so that you can be my witnesses. There is a condition. It's power not just to do things you like, power, not just power to be a powerful preacher, but you receive power to be my witness. So when was the last time you witnessed for him? When was the last time you shared the gospel? When was the last time you brought someone to a gospel meeting or to Alpha? You will receive the power from the Holy Spirit so that you can be my witnesses, both in Vancouver, in British Columbia, and to the remotest part of the earth. There it is a condition, a requirement, the Great Commission, which I will talk more in the coming weeks. But we are too busy to pray. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. How sad that is. We want power, but yet we are too busy to receive the power. We have a great deal of activities, but we accomplish little. Many services, but few conversions. Many machinery systems, but few results. So to receive this power, you cannot rely on yourself. You have to patiently wait for the Holy Spirit to pray. To pray for God's power. When Christ ascended into heaven, all he left behind was a prayer meeting. The early church did not have a prayer meeting. The early church was the prayer meeting. In fact, in the early church, every Christian was a prayer meeting Christian. So the end, my sharing, we have to pray. We have to plan. We should plan, project, organize. But we should also pray. We pray, but then we also work. So to end my sermon, I want to share with you St. Augustine's very thought-provoking proverbs. Pray as though everything depended on God. Amen. But work as though everything depended on you. Don't just pray and then go away. We need you to participate. You pray hard, we work hard. So we're going to have a moment of quietness, prepare our hearts for the communion.